This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning to you if you're waking up on your Monday. Ouch. Sorry, I can't do it. I could never do it. I stink at mornings, even when my morning happens to be at noon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm terrible at waking up. And so I applaud you, especially coming off a Thanksgiving weekend in which there was likely a lot to navigate on the roads and through the airways on Sunday, a heavy travel day. But I'm believing it was all worth it, that out of your long Thanksgiving weekend, you got exactly what you needed. I certainly did. Enjoyed some Christmas shopping and a live theater production on Saturday in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So that was a lot of fun to get away and just get into the holiday spirit a little more. And happy Hanukkah to those of you who are celebrating now as well. So it's early this year. We're definitely in the holiday spirit here. And after what was a Thanksgiving weekend with so much food and with the types of food that you really shouldn't be eating every day, do you know what I did on Sunday? I ate more Thanksgiving leftovers. The last of them, though, the cornbread, which is more of a corn souffle, as I was told, incredible recipe, that's gone. There are still a couple pieces of pumpkin pie, and I can't throw them out. Like, that's the thing. I can't just throw out perfectly good food. So I'm going to have to be working out extra this week so that I can eat the last of the pumpkin pie. There are 4 pieces left. How many of those am I allowed to eat?
Four? I think four. Four is doable.
Wait, four?
All of them?
When am I supposed to eat 4 pieces of pumpkin pie?
Well, you don't have to eat them all at the same time, but you're allowed
what
to eat
What if I bring you some?
Then. I mean, I would eat a piece, but okay. You're allowed to eat the 4 pieces you have remaining, I think, as many
well,
leftovers.
Okay, I'm going to bring you some, along with the Ready Whip, because I feel like it's probably not necessary for me to have all 4 pieces of pumpkin pie left over this week. It feels like that's a bit counterproductive to getting back on track.
I mean, necessary is one thing, but
delicious, though, for sure.
Right.
So maybe you still have some Thanksgiving leftovers. I have a few cookies, and I have a couple pieces of pumpkin pie. My friends and I finished up the coconut cream pie when we were in Lancaster. We actually took it with us and ate it when we were in Lancaster. It was so great. And again, I just hope that your Thanksgiving was really exactly what you needed, wherever you were, whoever you were with. I hope it was a chance to breathe and really remember all of the reasons we have to be thankful. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. So we've been mixing in some college football as well as some baseball news. In the NFL, we're asking you who's hot, who's not. And honestly, as much as this is really predicated on Sunday's action in the NFL, I encourage you to include the Saturday college football action because it was pretty dynamic. And we'll get to some of the reaction from Saturday. But if you're wondering, the way that the AP standings look right now, Georgia, a unanimous number one, and of course is headed to the SEC championship game against Alabama, who survives Auburn in 4 overtimes, but got leapfrogged in the AP poll. So these are not the college football playoff rankings. Those will come out on Tuesday, but they don't generally deviate a lot. So Georgia number one, Michigan after, what was it, 300 yards rushing in the snow. Oh my gosh, the snow in Ann Arbor was beautiful. I'm telling you what, football in the snow is the best kind of football. So Michigan jumps to number two in the AP poll Oklahoma State is now in the top five as well. And so here's what it looks like. Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, also 12-0, similar to the Dogs. Alabama's 11-1, Oklahoma State 11-1, Notre Dame 11-1. Those are your 4, 5, and 6 teams. And then Ohio State, Ole Miss, Baylor, and Oregon round out the top 10. If you're wondering about the Spartans, they fall to number 11. If you're wondering about Oklahoma, they tumbled to number 13 and lost their coach. Wowzers. Talk about a shock. And I'm sure we will hear more sometime this week when USC introduces its new head coach, Lincoln Riley. The OU defensive coordinator is also going to USC. Multiple high-profile recruits, commits, have decommitted now. And do you know where Lincoln Riley got the majority of his top recruits for next year? Southern California. It is a recruiting hotbed. Now, so are Oklahoma and Texas. Let's be honest. They're big-time high school football breeding grounds. But Southern California, it's a different animal. I don't really get the move, though. It stinks. It's a little fishy. As Oklahoma loses in a late rally by its rival, Oklahoma State, the Cowboys keep OU out of the Big 12 championship. The Sooners are on the cusp of moving to the SEC. While it may not happen next year, it could. It depends upon the timeline. It's fluid right now. And so even as all of this is happening, Oklahoma's about to make this major move. Lincoln Riley departs to the Pac-12. Do you know the highest ranked team in the Pac-12 right now is Oregon at number 10. They've really been on the outside looking into the college football playoff. There's been a spot here or there, but I don't get it. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. Though I suppose cynics would say, how many times has Lincoln Riley run into the SEC? How many times has Lincoln Riley fallen short against the SEC since he took over as the head coach at Oklahoma? But see, to me, if you're a true competitor and you want to be the best, you don't run from competition. You embrace it. But that is the workable theory right now. It's the working theory that Lincoln Riley is taking the money and he's taking a job in which it's easier to win his conference. He's taking a job that makes him a big fish in a smaller pond, as opposed to what is about to be a supersized SEC, where Oklahoma will not be the best team and will have an uphill climb. So we'll hear from him. He said it was the most difficult decision of his life. OU is one of the best college football programs in the country, and it has been forever. This was a personal decision solely based on my willingness to go take on a new challenge. And I felt like it was the right opportunity for me and my family to do that. He labeled the football tradition at USC unparalleled. I think there are some who would argue with that. But Lincoln Riley creating the biggest splash on Sunday in the football world. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So who's hot? I guess you could say USC is hot. Who's not? 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Hey, we just put up our Monday MVP poll. Who is your After Hours Monday MVP? Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette, Aaron Rodgers, Mac Jones. And trust me, we had a bunch of other names that we could have put in here. Jaylen Waddle, just mentioned him before the top of the hour. Monster game. We also talked about Elijah Mitchell of the Niners, and we're going to get to the Niners and the Vikings momentarily. Or also this segment, another big win for the Broncos. So as Von Miller, and this is not about Von. Von was very active, so please don't say that I'm or equate that I mentioned Von and the Rams 3-game losing skid as though he's somehow part of that. No, he's the same Von Miller. And the defense is playing well, though didn't dominate the trenches against the Packers. But Aaron Donald, still Aaron Donald. Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey. Did you see there were a couple of particular plays in which Aaron Rodgers adjusted on the fly and took a check down rather than throw to a receiver who's covered by Jalen Ramsey? I mean, that is what Jalen brings to the table. So there are some superstars on defense, but there are also some positions on that Rams defense that don't toe the line. Anyway, we could have gone a variety of ways with this. For the Broncos, even without Von Miller, having traded him, their defense is playing really well, producing takeaways against Justin Herbert and the Chargers on Sunday, and Patrick Surtain, the rookie, with a 70-yard pick six. So we're going to get to the AFC West after we complete the picture in the NFC West. And again, who's hot, who's not? You can answer on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our MetaFace page. Plus, vote for your Monday MVP. And yes, all write-in ballots are welcome. This is your weekly reminder, by the way, that Adam Thielen is a badass. OMG, is he amazing to watch. He reminds me a lot of Cooper Kupp, bit of a different body type, but will throw his body around with wild abandon. And the connection he has with Kirk Cousins is evident. They've really worked on that. What was it, 3 years ago? Maybe that Thielen was complaining, not as in complaining to start trouble, but just complaining about not being more involved in the offense, feeling like he could be a feature receiver, and yet they weren't using him the way that he felt like he could be used. And now they use him all the time in a variety of ways. They move him all around, and he and Kirk Cousins have a great connection. So a pair of Adam Thielen touchdown catches in the first half of this game at Levi's Stadium in the Bay Area. Vikings and Niners both fighting for wild card position in the NFC. But even as there are these reports, did you guys hear this on Sunday morning? Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network indicating that despite what you might hear elsewhere, the Niners are very much planning to trade Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason and go full bore with Trey Lance next year, regardless of what happens this season. And so while it seemed like that was likely to start the year, we've also seen Trey Lance struggle. Really, Kyle Shanahan has protected him in most cases, doesn't want him out there, that's obvious. And Garoppolo is more slow and steady. If we're talking tortoise and the hare, he's definitely a tortoise. But the team has now won three in a row. And they're using this run game in a way that's completely unconventional, right? Debo Samuel has turned into their top running back along with Elijah Mitchell. So even as the rumors persist and the reports from Ian Rappaport specifically that the Niners plan to trade Jimmy Garoppolo and start Trey Lance next season, they still have unfinished business this season. San Francisco maybe had a motivational speech from Leonard Fournette at halftime as well, because the Niners come roaring out of the halftime locker room and they score in their first three drives. So 20 points in the third quarter. Debo Samuel, Elijah Mitchell, both with TD runs. The second one comes after Kirk Cousins throws an interception. But honestly, this one was a tight battle all the way through.
Garoppolo under center, hands off Elijah Mitchell. Take it to the goal line. Touchdown, San Francisco. Weren't they just out 14 to 7 minutes ago?
What is that song, Eli's Coming Home? Eli is home.
Wisnowski kicked short. Here comes Kane Wongu from the 2 to the right side 20. He's to the 25, 30. And Kane Wongu has left the 49ers in the wake of a keen turn of speed. Touchdown! It's a 99-yard touchdown. His second this season.
Good stuff. Great highlights from both Greg Papa on Niners radio as well as Paul Allen on Vikings radio. 10 points for San Francisco off Minnesota turnovers in the second half, though they do get a 99-yard kickoff return for a score, but ultimately just not enough on either side of the ball. Why? Because the Niners rushed for more than 200 yards. They've got three touchdowns on the ground. They dominate time of possession. So even if your offense is in a great rhythm, if your opponent has the ball 37 minutes and you only have the ball 23 minutes, you're already at a decided disadvantage. And here's what else happened in this game, which sucks. Dalvin Cook leaves with a shoulder injury in the third quarter after he scores. They cannot go anywhere without Dalvin Cook. I don't care how well Kirk Cousins is playing. I don't care how much Adam Thielen is a badass, though I do think he's amazing. Without Dalvin Cook, that offense is nowhere near as powerful and definitely not as explosive. And so yet another game in which the Vikings fall to a Niners team like they fall into so many others by one score, and close in late situations can't always figure out a way to either protect a lead or to rally. Now, they did do it against the Packers last week, so give them credit for that. But sometimes it feels like it's feast or famine with the Vikings.
They got a good team with their offense and defense. And our guys fight like crazy. So we're used to being these kind of games.
If we had been able to find a way to win, I would be saying how proud I am of, the way our roster fought and many, many guys contributed, but, came up short.
We've heard this over and over from Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins. They've got to figure out a way to consistently win the games that are right there for the taking, that are dangling like freaking carrots in front of them. And I don't mean the carrots that you find with the diamonds or that you talk about with diamonds. I mean like the actual carrots that are orange, because orange is the best color in the world. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. How about the Niners now with three consecutive wins? As I say, the ball control is huge, and that's what they've done. This is not rocket science. There's no secret to it. No, it's not a secret sauce or a formula that they're keeping under wraps until game time. No, here's what they want to do. They want to run the ball. They want to control the ball. They want to keep the ball away from their opponent. It may not be pretty, but three straight wins has got them above 500.
And you always have it in the back of your head, the position where you're at and everything, and the other teams around you. But I think we've been taking a week by week mentality, and just trying to get one win at a time, and it's done well for us this last 3 weeks. So I think we got to keep doing that going forward, and we'll be in a good spot.
We felt a groove there. I think we had another 20 play drive, which I think that's pretty elite. And then our defense stepped up, especially when we had a couple losses out there when guys, we had a couple injuries. But people were stepping up and the time that we needed them to step up.
I like what I've seen from these Niners. And whether or not you think they're a Super Bowl contender, they're dangerous because of the style that they play. And as the weather turns colder, the more we see with this defense, the more we see with this run game. And think how many guys they've lost from their running back room. And yet Deebo Samuel has made that transition relatively seamlessly. He's getting more action on the ground than he is now through the air. And Elijah Mitchell has been a revelation, over 100 yards as well. So the Niners are now, along with the Cardinals and Rams, all above 500 in the NFC West. Seahawks play on Monday night against Washington. Okay, that could be interesting. Haven't the Seahawks gone 2 weeks without a touchdown pass from Russell Wilson? And the Washington defensive line is playing better and better? Oy. So Cardinals, Rams, Niners are three teams that are very firmly in the playoff run. We could very well end up with three NFC West teams in the postseason, though there is a long way to go. How about in the AFC West? It makes even less sense than does the NFC West. Honestly, the North and the West in the AFC, they're ridiculous. Like, they're literally ridiculous. And no, I have no idea how it's going to pan out. I do know that it's all kinds of entertaining to watch because you never know what's going to happen. It's like Survivor. Teams getting blindsided every week. Or the Twilight Zone. Take your pick of pop culture references. I'm all about it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get to Justin Herbert, the Chargers, Teddy Bridgewater, the Broncos, Patrick Surtain, big moment for the rookie. and the rest of the AFC West.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
That's straight ahead here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Teddy, looks like you'll see a four-man rush here. Chargers do bring four. Bridgewater bounces out, has some room to run, pumps once, running right, inside the five. Bridgewater leads the football to the pylon, and no signal yet. Touchdown, Denver! Third down and goal. Lock with three receivers wide left, Sutton wide right, runs it. Javonte Williams right up the gut and into the end zone. Touchdown, Denver! Third down and goal from the nine. And they run an inside zone, and Javonte Williams with his second rushing touchdown of the season.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Logan on Broncos Radio. Denver with a pair of rushing touchdowns early on for a 14-0 cushion. And it was only a, hear me here, a Drew Lock interception by Derwin James of the Chargers that gave L.A. some life before the half. Austin Eckler with another receiving touchdown as they hit the break. Why Drew Lock? Well, Teddy Bridgewater suffered a lower leg injury, and so he was working at it on the sidelines. He was kind of hobbling around. He was throwing. Same time that Drew Lock was throwing, honestly, it was kind of interesting watching and wondering how this would play out. So Lock stayed in the game for a bit, but Bridgewater eventually returned. Chargers were well within striking distance in the second half, but man, they came out of the halftime locker room the same way the Indianapolis Colts did, flat, flatter than flat. Starting the second half with a missed field goal, an interception, and then one very loud moment courtesy of the Denver defense.
Denver will rush four this time, not five. Quick throw to Eckler, deflected and intercepted. Pass Sertan down the west sideline. This may be a house call. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Denver. 70 yards for Pat Sertan.
The rookie, and again, Dave Logan on Broncos Radio, the rookie with a pair of interceptions, but a 70-yard pick six. What a moment. And when you think about the Broncos offense, and yes, they were good on this day. 3 for 3 in the red zone, 8 of 11 on third down. They rushed for 147 yards. It's good to have the crowd behind them. But the Broncos offense doesn't often provide this type of offensive spark, which means that the defense has to carry that pressure. But what we've seen from the secondary specifically, Justin Simmons getting a new contract and now the rookie Pat Sertan really coming into his own and making a loud splash. This is what the Broncos need, especially in the wake of their trade of Von Miller to L.A.
You got to expect every game, you know, to make big-time plays, big-time games like this, especially when it's necessary.
So those are big plays. The first one probably saves 3 points. They probably would kick a field goal there. And the next one, they're in field goal range again, and it becomes 7 points for us.
Patrick Sertan, and then his head coach Vic Fangio, and of course, they are could go on and on. I could go on and on. We all could about Sertan doing more for the Broncos. The Home Depot has everything you need to make sure you get the perfect gifts this year. Shop in-store, online, or use the Home Depot app. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. We thought about putting Patrick Surtain in the Monday MVP poll, but we just run out of spots. But still, this is a big victory for the Broncos in the Mile High City over the Chargers. Right now, both those teams are sitting at 6-5. Honestly, the entire AFC West, outside of the Chiefs, who are on a bye this week but have won four games in a row, they're all 6-5. And so the defensive effort by the Broncos, not to mention the way they ran the ball, good enough to stymie the Chargers on Sunday. I'm not big into next-gen stats. I have a hard enough time keeping up with plain old boring regular stats. But here's your nerd alert. Surtain reached a top speed of 22.07 miles per hour on his pick six. You want to talk about acceleration, exit velo, if we're going to use a term from Major League Baseball, 22.07 miles per hour, according to Next Gen. And here's the part that matters. It's the fastest by a defensive back with the ball in his hands in the last 5 years. Wowzers. Acceleration. What are you, Tyreek Hill? And Surtain says, I've always known I was fast. I used to run track, so I would say that little track background helped me a lot. Yeah, and also helps that he had a wide open field after the interception. So the Broncos are able to run the ball, get the big defense. Why are we seeing that theme over and over and over again? Well, because it's week 12, and the weather turns colder, and the games get grittier and more physical. Justin Herbert doesn't like, of course, the interceptions. He threw two of them there in the second half, but also the fact that they were flagged for 9 penalties and 75 yards.
A lot of that is adversity and how we handle that, but I felt like for most of the game we handled that pretty well, and we did overcome some penalties, but too many penalties, you can't overcome them all, and obviously something that we have to address and have to get better at this week.
We had a chance to make winning plays today, and we didn't make enough of them. And you know, I think we'll learn a lot from this film. And it's not gonna be as bad as it seems right now. It won't be, but you know, just didn't feel like we had our best stuff today.
So now the Chargers are 6-5. The Broncos are 6-5. The Raiders, who played on Thanksgiving Day and had the victory in Dallas, they're 6-5. The Chiefs are on a bye this week. They're 7-4, but they're the second hottest team in the NFL with their four consecutive wins. So to answer our question of who's hot, Patriots have the longest win streak at 6 in a row. Chiefs with 4 wins in a row. And then if you head into the NFC, it's the Niners with 3 consecutive wins. Guess what's coming up on Sunday Night Football? So Sunday and Monday next week, all the primetime games are insane in the membrane. I already told you Patriots-Bills on Monday Night Football week 13. James, you're looking at me with that quizzical
facial expression. Yeah, I can't remember who was on Sunday night.
Sunday night was a flex. Do you remember who got flexed? Chiefs-Broncos. Okay, as a Broncos fan since age 13... I don't remember the last time the Broncos were flexed into anything. I can remember a lot of times they were flexed out of something, but to be flexed into something is quite the different story.
Pretty cool.
Now, let's be honest. This is all about the Chiefs. It's all about the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes on Sunday Night Football in primetime under the lights.
Mahomes magic.
I'm under no guises that this is about the Broncos, but because the AFC West is nutty and the Chiefs have won 4 consecutive games, well, the Broncos get flexed because that just happens to be the next opponent on their schedule. This game is at Arrowhead. Have you ever been to a game at Arrowhead?
Oh no, that would be amazing.
It is one of the most incredible atmospheres, and I've actually been there for a Big 12 championship going back to when it was Kansas State and Oklahoma. I remember that it was so cold in December on the sidelines at Arrowhead, I couldn't feel my feet. I was on the sidelines for the first half of that game, could not feel my feet any longer. And then also to do a morning show there so I was working in local Oklahoma radio. I did a morning show there when there was nobody in the entire stadium except for me in the press box and one security guard who was kind of wandering around. The place was empty.
Wow.
And I was doing a morning show from the press box early on, I think it was a Friday morning. It was pretty amazing to see it both empty and then to see it rocking.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a great atmosphere. So that game got flexed next weekend. So we're talking huge divisional battles in the AFC. I can't get ahead of myself because that's week 13, but wow.
Hey, they've earned it.
They certainly have earned the way that they are now, the way that they've put themselves in the mix there in the wild card or even for the AFC West title. And it's the same with the teams in the AFC North. They're all still poised and still right there in the mix. Okay, 855-212-4227. Coming up, we'll get to your calls. Also, we have to look at this weird phenomenon that happened on Sunday. It's a rare occurrence in the last 10 years. I would almost say it's like Halley's Comet, but maybe that's not a fair metaphor. The Giants and the Jets both win on the same day. I swear that's not a mistake. I make plenty of mistakes, but that's not one of them. Even as Zach Wilson returns for the Jets and throws an interception off someone else's helmet. Yeah, from the category of you can't make this stuff up.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
First and 10, Hurts gives it off to Scott. Up the middle he goes, but he fumbles the football, and the Giants have it. He fumbled the football, and Julian Love is on top of it. Boston Scott had running room. He was hit, and the football came loose, and that could end it.
Hurts back to throw. Settles in the pocket. Feels some pressure. Rolls left. Now throws a deep ball to the middle of the field. Deflected and incomplete. At the goal line, intended for Rager.
No flag on it. That very well could have been a penalty flag there, Bob.
So the Giants stop Philadelphia on a 4th and 10, and with 15 seconds to go, the Giants will beat the Eagles.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
We had done a little speculating, a speculation. That's not a word, but it sounded kind of fun. But last week about the NFC East. And so coming off of Thanksgiving night with the Dallas Cowboys losing, is it 3 of their last 4 now, right? They've lost. They have to play again on Thursday, by the way, against the Saints. But they lose at home to the Raiders. And they've left this door open a crack. Now, I'm not telling you it's wide open to the point where they can't slam it on any potential intruder in the division. But the fact that they've fallen to 7-4, again, after dropping 3 of their last 4 games, means that there is a chance the rest of the NFC East, specifically the Eagles, could make some noise, put a stretch together in which they win a bunch of games, and encroach on the Cowboys' territory. Which is why this game at MetLife Stadium between the two NFC East rivals, Eagles and Giants, was such a big deal on Sunday. It was not a big deal for the Giants offense. We'll get to that coming up. Freddie Kitchens takes over play calling duties for the fired Jason Garrett. He and Joe Judge go way back to their days coaching together in college. It didn't look that different to me. There were no turnovers, which was big, but it didn't look that different to me. The Giants win this game because their defense played lights out. Gosh, how many times have I said that about a team in week 12 so far? No TDs until the opening drive of the third quarter of this game. So, you know, if you want to write home about your offense, make sure you include that line. Daniel Jones does throw a touchdown pass to cap a 59-yard drive to start the second half. But really, the story is Jalen Hurts. In the first half, a pair of red zone interceptions. He gets picked off by 3 different Giants. And in the first half, twice in the red zone. You want to talk about backbreaking for your offense. Now, the Philly run game, we've seen it flourish over the last few weeks. It does find room in the third quarter. You hear the Boston Scott touchdown with Merrill Reese on Eagles radio. And so the Eagles pull within a field goal in the third quarter. But really, the Giants defense gets the last laugh. Yet another interception. And then also knocking the ball away from Jalen Rager what was it, in the end zone or right on the, it was in the end zone there on what was essentially the final gasp for the Eagles. So four takeaways by the Giants defense, massive. And then get this, 208 yards rushing, but only 7 points. Does that remind you of something? The Titans in New England, 270 yards rushing by the Titans on the road against the Patriots on Sunday, but only 13 points. Bend, 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 don't break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So a big deal for the defense. And Joe Judge, in making this change, yada, 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 let's not change defensive coordinators because the Giants D has really been the MVP all year. But a win is a win is a win is a win.
It was a good team win. Look, that's a well-coached football team. They play very hard. They do a lot of things that pose a lot of issues. You know, it was a week that we had to do a lot of prep as a team to account for a lot of things they have, both personnel and scheme-wise. I'm pleased with the team effort. I'm pleased with how the coaches came together this week and worked on the plan, got their players prepared. We were able to make a lot of plays down the stretch in all three phases. These are things that really carried over for us.
We needed it bad, obviously. But, you know, not just for a win in the column, to set a standard for who we are as a team. I think we've been preaching that we want to be a physical, tough, resilient team. And I think that showed today in a lot of ways. And so we're happy how we recovered.
So for the Giants, they do the Cowboys a solid. The Giants are still in the basement of the NFC East. They're 4-7. Washington's 4-6. Washington plays on Monday Night Football against the Seahawks. So we'll see what happens there. But by knocking the Eagles down a peg, it helps the Cowboys, right? Because they still have their same margin, even though they lost on Thursday. The Eagles now 5-7. And even as you hear Julian Love, the Giants safety, talk about how desperate they were for a win, you can imagine this one stings the Eagles so badly because Jalen Hurts throws 3 interceptions, because they lose that turnover battle, and despite what they did well on the ground, they can't shoot themselves in the foot the way they did, even against the Giants. When you're talking NFC East, you're talking to divisional battles, these become with so much more of an intensity to them and a much smaller margin for error.
It's never going to be a A, B, C, or D if you turn over three times, right? And so, you know, obviously he didn't play good enough, you know, and we didn't coach good enough, and it's all of us, right? It's never just one guy.
Nick Sirianni had the Eagles surging, but they stubbed their toe. Or if you would like to use an analogy from my own personal life, they drive over a nail and the tire goes flat. Seems like it happens fairly often. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Who is your Monday MVP? We've got the poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. And then we're asking you who's hot and who's not. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Zach Wilson and the Jets also win on Sunday. It's rare in the last decade that Giants and Jets win on the same day. This is against the Houston Texans. In the return of the rookie quarterback, he does throw an interception off the helmet of a teammate. It was something I'm not sure I've ever seen before. He starts to scramble and shovels. So he fakes a pass. He shovels the ball to a teammate who was running out in front of him. Was it Johnson, I think, that was running out in front of him? The ball bounces off his teammate's helmet and gets intercepted. Okay. So maybe it's because he'd been out for a few weeks.
He was fine. Obviously, there's a little rust there after a month, but I thought he managed the game well. You know, I thought, again, the offense was running the heck out of the football, and he was doing a good job on third down. So it was just a good day of managing the game. That's just going to be his growing pains in terms of being able to recognize things, trust your week's worth of preparation. But as he sees the game and he's starting to see coverages and player demeanor and all that stuff, he gets more comfortable, and obviously he becomes more decisive.
I've had this whole time to watch and learn from everybody else. And, you know, I thought I had my best week of practice. And so now I just got to put it to the field and just, you know, get better and understand this part of the process and just have that chip on my shoulder.
Hey, give him credit. He led the game, well, the go-ahead drive, I should say, in the middle of the third quarter and comes up with that 4-yard run and then also sparked the Jets to their late field goal that gave them their final margin of victory. It's just, you know, butt fumble and now helmet interception. It doesn't have the same ring as butt fumble. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Robert, who's in Norman, Oklahoma. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. It's a pleasure. Boomer Sooner.
Hey, listen, I live in Norman. I've been watching Oklahoma football since about 1979. I've come to the realization that maybe Lincoln Riley just reached the conclusion that the Oklahoma Sooners and that team have reached their ceiling. They can't go any further. When you couple in the fact that the last three playoff losses have been against three SEC teams, you sprinkle in a few embarrassing losses amongst the last five seasons, and maybe it's just time for a change and time to go. I don't think one of the reasons he did not take the LSU job, obviously, is because the USC job opened. Also, I noticed that his body language and his demeanor changed shortly after the Kansas game and also shortly after you realized that the USC job was opening, but nobody was ever talking about that.
Wait, you think his body language changed after the USC job opened up?
Yeah, that and combined with the fact that they struggled against Kansas a couple weeks ago. And I think the final nail in the coffin is losing to cross-state rival Oklahoma State.
I can understand that that's it's a painful loss because of the way the Cowboys rallied in the fourth quarter. I don't know, though, and I know it keeps Oklahoma – thank you for your call, Robert – keeps Oklahoma out of the Big 12 championship so they won't compete. They're nowhere near college football playoff status. But still, if you look at the overall resume with the four straight Big 12 titles, three straight playoff appearances in the 18, 19, and 20 seasons, he was the Big 12 Coach of the Year, obviously, back in 18. He was handpicked by Bob Stoops to take over this program, and he's so young still at 38. Maybe he did believe that he'd accomplished the most that he possibly could in Norman, but that doesn't make any sense to me. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And they were still building, and his recruiting class coming in had all these high-profile high school guys, a lot of them from Southern California. Now, I don't know what Southern Cal offered Lincoln Riley. Certainly Oklahoma pays. I mean, we know they pay their athletic coaches very well. Maybe Southern Cal backed up the is it Brinks or Binks? Clearly, I have zero familiarity with any type of a money truck. It's one or the other. And so maybe they're going to pay him so much money, it's obscene, and he can't afford not to take it. But honestly, I don't feel like this is about money. It's just maybe it is about wanting to be a bigger fish in a smaller pond. Maybe it is about L.A. Maybe it is about the challenge of turning Southern Cal around, about the facilities, about the recruiting ground. But all of those things he'd been able to tap into at OU. And here is OU going to the SEC. But if you don't want to be part of this vaunted power conference where maybe you get lost, maybe you have trouble competing for the top recruits because of who else is in the SEC, maybe that's why the timing is right for Lincoln to leave. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.